Blog Talk Radio.
Remember this, that you walk under the mercy of God, under the favor of God, and no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. See, as you sing this song that says that your mercy is falling, just think of a shower. You ever got caught in the rain? I mean, talking about buckets of rain. Well, that's how God's mercy is falling down on you tonight. Come on, heaven say, your mercy, Lord.
Your mercy is falling, falling down on me.
I thank you, Lord. I don't deserve it, oh God, but your mercy, Lord.
Your mercy.
Thank you, Jesus. Cover me, Lord.
Cover me, Lord, like the morning dew.
Yeah, love my boy.
Oh,
say, cover me, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord, cover me, Lord. Everywhere I go, Lord God. Everywhere I go, Lord God, cover me, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have been playing that song half today. I remember when I first heard that song, I was in New York City visiting one of my best friends, a sister in Christ that I met in China umpteen years ago, and we became best friends, and now she's in New York, but her brother made that CD. And I was going through so much because I wasn't covered, so to speak, by the leadership that I had been under, and things had happened, and I was hurt to the core. And when I heard that song, I knew that God prescribed that song for me just to heal my soul, my heart, my wounds. And I played it on repeat every day for I don't know how long. And during my quiet time under my prayer shawl. And this one particular day, I had my prayer time before I went to walk around the track. And I was under my prayer shawl, and I played that song, and it was on repeat. And I was just worshiping the Lord. My eyes were closed, and the Lord appeared in my room. It was the angel of the Lord, and I could see his wings, and his wings engulfed me, and they were whiter than white, and I could see the feathered wings, and they were panels. They were thick, really thick, and just gorgeous, and I was under those wings, and the Lord spoke to me and said, I have you covered. That really happened. And, you know, sometimes when God does special things for us like that and manifests himself to us in ways that we can hardly describe but makes himself visible to us, we have to remember to bring us through later on. And I think about that, and I was worshiping the Lord before I went out today on that song on YouTube, and I was just so blessed, and it just reminds me, and God means it to remind me that when he manifested himself in my room and stood behind me, the Bible said God goes before us, and he is our rear guard. And he showed me, I know your pain. I know what happened. I'm Elroy. I see you. This is to the TIs today. I'm Elroy, God says. That's who he is. And that means I see you. He sees me. And he saw me in my distress like he saw Hagar in her desert place. And he manifested himself to her, and she called out, Elroy, the God that sees me. That's who he is to us. He sees us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so I had another song that I was going to start the podcast with, but after I kept listening to that today, I said, that's the song we need to hear tonight. Hallelujah. Cover me. Hallelujah. I'm Seer Evangelist Linda Cazares, CEO and founder of Gatekeepers Ministry International, and you're listening to Gatekeepers Global Podcast. I'm so honored to have you call in or stream in tonight. I'm just blessed. I thank God for this eighth podcast under the auspices of this powerful ministry, and because of you, you make this podcast work. You bring it to a place in God where he honors it, because every broadcast that Gatekeepers has ever done for the last almost 8 or 9 years, every topic has been given to me by the Ruach HaKodesh, our Holy Spirit. And every topic and every word has honored God. It has been truth, hallelujah, from the Holy Spirit. So I thank you for joining us tonight. I appreciate our guest that's on tonight, Minister Constance Rose and Pastor Dr. Millicent Black and Minister Julia Thompson. You know, we're veterans in this situation. We are. And I know there's been targeted individuals that have been targeted 50 more years than we have, going through this stuff, watching their parents go through it, their grandparents go through it, and they are going through it. If you want to know really, really some testimonies and some stories, you can find them on YouTube. That's when somebody led me to understand what was going on in my life after 17 years. I had no idea what the word gang stalking meant or never heard it before. I had no idea what was microwave frequencies. I had no idea that the technology was as wicked and evil as it is or that it even existed. But in the early 2000s, God gave me a dream. And he saw me, he showed me this technology in someone's room, in a young man's room. And I had so many dreams that had to do with this technology and people using it. Time was that, and what God ministered to me was that this is the technology that's going to be used by the Antichrist himself to gain control and bring control, because that's what he's about, control, manipulation, and domination. That's what the Antichrist is about. Anybody that is a TI on this line knows what I'm talking about, because when you don't know or understand what's going on in this world of technology, then it could get the best of you. And if you don't have a prayer life and a personal relationship with Jesus, it will get the best of you. Support groups are wonderful, but we need El Roy, the God that sees me. Hallelujah. Yes, we do. We need Jehovah Jireh. We need El Shaddai, God Almighty. We need Adonai Elohim. We need Yahshua, HaMashiach, hallelujah. The God, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for us, that shed his blood, that rose from the dead, that we would have eternal life, that ascended into heaven, hallelujah. And he let people see him, hallelujah. He let people see him ascend into heaven. That's how we can have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So I'm honored to be on this podcast tonight. I truly believe that anybody that is living through this gang stalking, and if they're targeting you with microwave frequencies, they have to be able to see you to do it. So that means that they are gang stalking you. They are totally invading your privacy, the portion of your life that the God of our salvation has given us, that we value, that we have boundaries, that we as women of God in particular are holy. Our lives are holy. Our bodies are holy. Our minds are holy. We are holy before a mighty God, a God that looks upon us, a Abba, our Father God, that looks upon us, sees the blood of his Son, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That says a lot to me, that I have a loving Father that can only love me and you unconditionally. Hallelujah. So all I can say is that God had me say one thing to my brother in Christ. Have you ever heard of the technology used to invade the privacy of another? And right away he said, yes, that's not happening to you, is it? And I said, yes, it is. And I began to tell him some things, and he confirmed it, and he said, I'm going to send you some links to YouTube. And I was up all night watching YouTube links. It had been 17 years. I knew I was being watched somehow, but I didn't know how. I knew that I was being followed. I knew that I was being surrounded. I knew that people knew when I stepped out of my door to get in my car and where I was going because I talked about it. And they were using technology to hear what I was saying. They knew every place that the Lord was leading me to live. So they were invading the privacy of every person's home that I rented or that I lived in, including where I am right now. But God can bring you to a secret place where I was that day, that I was worshiping the Lord with my eyes closed under my prayer shawl on that song that you just heard, Cover Me. And I was in my secret place. Hallelujah. See, there's something that a gang stalker can't see when he's watching you or she's watching you through technology, and that's the manifestation of God. They can't see that. When God manifests himself to you, if he doesn't manifest himself and let everybody that's watching see him, then they don't know what's going on with you. They'll never know unless you say it. They'll never know. That was one of many times that Jesus, my Messiah, Yahshua HaMashiach, took the liberty at an unexpected time in my life to manifest himself before me and let me know, I know what you're going through. I'm touched by the feeling of your infirmity. I bottle every tear. Don't suppress your emotions. Let people talk about you, that think that you are emotionally disturbed. The devil is a liar. God says he bottles every tear in Psalm 58. That means that every tear I cry, every tear you cry, for what? Every reason, it's being bottled in heaven by Almighty God. If I never know who's sending microwave frequencies at me, if I never know all the gang stalkers, and I know quite a lot of them, and I put their names before God, hallelujah. Because if they really knew what they're in for doing this kind of wickedness to a woman of God or a man of God, they would repent and stop it immediately. And to the unbeliever, I pray that God has enough mercy on them that the Holy Spirit would lead them to the bleeding side of Calvary, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that they would say yes to him being their Savior and Lord and repent from this evil, wicked way and turn away from it and deal with it no more. Hallelujah. My God. And I thank you. And it's only been 2 years that I have come to know what it's like to be targeted with the microwave frequencies. It wasn't until I started participating with prayer groups and praying and speaking on prayer lines and being supportive of other women of God that are being mistreated like this. No cause of our own. No transgressions that we did. We don't even know the people, some of us. Don't even know all the people that are targeting us. What satisfaction would a person get out of this when they know that they're hurting you? What satisfaction? Scripturally, you can't give me a scripture that would tell you a person that says they're saved that would use this technology. I walked in a church when I first moved in this area 10 years ago or 11 years ago, and there were two women that identified me, and the Holy Spirit let me know that they had been gang stalking me and watching me through technology for years. One was a deacon in the church, and I took a class with the bishop to become a deacon, and she happened to be in the same class to become a licensed minister. The other girl that was doing it was in the sign language ministry, young girl. What did they get out of that? In church every Sunday, hearing the word from the pulpit, and no conviction of the Holy Ghost, that you're walking a chalk line, that your days are numbered. Repent, turn away from this wickedness. None of that did they feel any kind of conviction. And the Holy Spirit never lacks when it comes to convicting us of sin. They don't look at this as sin because there's so many church leaders, bishops, pastors in the church that's doing this, and they know it, so they think it's okay. But to God be all the glory, because Psalm 3 says he will be a shield around us. And I found out recently through allowing a doctor to take my blood work that no weapon formed against me will prosper, as much as all kinds of sickness and disease that they put in my drink, my food, and everything else for years, and I'm sick for 2 weeks coughing and hacking and trying to use over-the-counter drugs to get this coughing and congestion out of my chest. And nothing has come up. Every blood work taken has turned out negative. God says, see, they put that hepatitis in your food. They put it in your drink because that's what they want you to walk around with, because they've even told people that you got it. And I didn't have no hepatitis A, B, C, D, all the way to Z. Negative. So the devil is a liar. God said, no weapon, just like the songwriter said in the song we just heard, Cover Me, no weapon formed against you will be able to prosper. Every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn before Almighty God, our Father. So I had said that I was going to tell a little bit of my story, and that's a little bit. But I was just letting you know that it's only been in the last 2 years that I've experienced the microwave frequencies, because I feel what my sisters in Christ are feeling. I feel what Millicent Black was feeling. I didn't understand all of that when I first came in contact and connected to women of God and some men of God that have been experiencing this much longer than me. And that probably brought those gang-stalking, evil, wicked people that use the microwave technology to start using it on me. Hallelujah. But I give God all the glory, honor, and praise. Hallelujah. One night it was so bad, I just start praising and worshiping God. It's okay. Because there is no and will not be, and there was no persecution like they persecuted Christ. Like they persecuted Christ. It takes an evil, a wretched mind to feel comfortable about doing this kind of stuff. So let me pray right now. I'm going to pray. We got a lot of callers, and I'm sure there's a lot of people streaming. But I'm going to pray right now, and I'm going to read a psalm that I think every TI should be reading and saying out loud before Almighty God. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, it only takes a minute, and it only takes Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. That's all you got to say. Be Lord and Savior of my life. Help me. Amen. And you have given your life to Christ. If you mean it, you've given your heart to the Lord. And he has become your Lord and Savior. Then you can understand and come into a right relationship with him. So let's pray. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you. We thank you. We lift you up. We honor you. We magnify your holy name. We bless you today. We thank you for waking us up this morning in our right minds, Lord. I don't know about this technology, but through what the dreams that you showed me every pastor and bishop that uses this technology to listen to me and watch me, male and female, letting them know that you are my daddy, that you are my God. And you expose the devil and you reveal truth. And that is the truth. So, God, we thank you tonight. We don't take it lightly, Lord, that this platform that you've given us and we declare it holy. We don't take it lightly that you've blessed us to be on this platform one more time. We lift you up. We honor you. We magnify your holy name. I dispatch holy angels in the first and second heaven over every listener's home, surrounding the frequencies, enabling this broadcast to be seen, to go forth through fruition. Lord, we ask God that you minister a word to every gang stalker in the church and in the world tonight. Lord, that one of them or two of them might be saved. We don't know what you're going to do, Lord, but we ask for justice. Lord, this is the year, the season for justice. You are our avenger. Nothing gets by you. Nothing passes you by. Nothing is said without you hearing it. Nothing is done without you seeing it. Hallelujah. We ask, oh God, that you would beat back the forces of darkness on our behalf. We plead the blood of Jesus against you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you. The blood of Jesus is against you. We don't know any other way to pray, but to call upon your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're a mighty God. All power in heaven and earth has been given unto you. People think they have power, but they really don't. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We ask God that you would have mercy on the unbelievers that are doing this wickedness, that you would bring them to their knees of repentance to the bleeding side of Calvary, Lord. If they only knew how this curse is going to fall on their family members, their children, their grandchildren, and through their bloodlines. Oh, God, we ask, God, that you would find a way by your Holy Spirit to deal with them, Lord. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, you can reach anybody. We ask, God, that you reach them deep down on the inside. Hallelujah. That they would say yes to your will and turn from their wicked ways. So, Father, I ask that you would bless each speaker tonight. I ask, God, that you would give them the right words to say to encourage another TI that's listening. Lord, we're full of empathy tonight. We're very supportive of one another. We were before any of this happened. We thank you for agape love, which is unconditional. We thank you, Lord. That's the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by Christ Jesus. And we thank you for it. And God, I just pray for all the listeners, Lord God. I ask, God, that you would help each one of them, that you would minister to them, Lord Jesus. Pour out your spirit upon our flesh tonight, those that are streaming in and listening in and will listen in on demand after this broadcast ends this evening. We thank you and we give you praise. No one knows the pain. Hallelujah. No one knows the hurt. No one knows the damage and the wounds but you. And we thank you, Lord, that when no one else understands and they sit back and laugh and gossip and talebear, find fault, bear false witness, you know, Yahshua, Jesus, HaMashiach, you know. I pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Well, when I sent out an email about this podcast, I sent it out to one of my favorite friends, Loretta. And I say a couple words to the speakers, and I have their pictures on the email and the order that they will be speaking in and their time allotted to them. And I put on there something about Psalm 59. My pastor in Philadelphia, he has Wednesday night Bible study on Facebook, and about 6 weeks ago, he opened the Bible study talking about Psalm 59, and he read it, and he went through it, and he went on and ministered on some other psalms as well. And I looked up Psalm 59 in my Bible, my Tree of Life Bible, and I had noted some things in here. As a matter of fact, when I got to a certain place, I put somebody's initials, a pastor that has been used greatly in my life by the devil. So I'm going to read Psalm 59. If you have your Bible and you want to join me reading it, you can see the words for yourself. You can outline. But this, I say this in my prayer time in the middle of the night, And this is just so perfect for the TI. Psalm 59, verse 2. Deliver me from my enemies, my God. Set me on high, away from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from workers of iniquity. Rescue me from bloodthirsty men and women. My God, how perfectly this describes them. For behold, they lie in wait for me. Defiant men and women stir up strife against me. Not for any transgression or sin, Adonai, for no guilt of mine. They run and set things up. Awake, help me, look, for you are Adonai Elohim, the God of Israel. Rouse yourself to punish all the nations. Show no mercy to all iniquitous traitors, Selah. They return at evening, snarling like a dog, prowling about the city. See, they are spewing with their mouth, swords in their lips. After all, who is listening? But you, Adonai, are laughing at them. My God, isn't that something? The other day I came out the gym, I got in my car, and there were haters and gang stalkers sitting in their cars watching me. So the Lord said, just stop. Roll down your window and start laughing. And that's what I did. And I laughed so hard. And when I was finished, I rolled up my window and they stayed right there. The Lord said, laugh at them. And that's what I did until I rolled up my window and went on about my business. You scoff at all the nations. O, my strength, I watch for you, for God is my strong tower. My God in his loving kindness will go before me. Hallelujah. God will let me look down on my foes. Do not slay them, lest my people forget. With your power, shake them and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. The sin of their mouth in the words of their lips. So let them be caught in their pride and for uttering a curse and a lie. They have lied on me for 10 years to these church leaders. And I'm talking about almost a 10-year period or more. And not one of those church leaders has enough Holy Ghost in them to come to me about anything. Not one of them. And I know all of them name by name, face by face. Hallelujah. And that's bearing false witness against your neighbor. Hallelujah. Consume them in wrath. Consume them till they are no more. Let them know that God rules over us, over Jacob, over Linda, over Millicent, over Julia, over Constance. Hallelujah, over Miriam, over Lucy, over all of us, over Sigrid, to the ends of the earth, Selah. They return at evening snarling like a dog, prowling about the city. Wonder why God put that in there twice. They wander around for food. If they are not full, they stay up all night. But I sing of your strength. Yes, in the morning I sing aloud of your loving kindness, Lord, for you have been my fortress, a refuge in the day of trouble. O, my strength, to you I sing praises, for God is my strong tower, my God of loving kindness. Hallelujah. We still pray for God to forgive them. We forgive them. We ask God to have mercy on them. Hallelujah. But this is the psalm that says, God is my strong tower. Hallelujah. He is our defense. He's never lost a battle, and he always wins the war. Hallelujah. So I was blessed to go to Aruba this year, and then the next month, St. Martin, and this Sunday. And each trip, I do 7 days. This Sunday, I'm leaving for Ochos Rios for 8 days. God has blessed me, and I am going with the flow. And they've attacked me there. They've come up against me in those places, in my fabulous suite, where they probably can't stand seeing me be blessed. They don't like it when you're blessed because they want to try to drain you of everything, your assets. I know. I've heard it on testimony. Everything. They want to drain you. They want to make you sick. They want to think that this is your last day, that your life is going to end. There's some church leaders that try to make you feel like that too. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. And I have found things in this house where I live to use as shields, but in the hotel rooms, there's nothing that I can use to use as a shield. So I've had to just really get my mind focused on Jesus, and that has brought me through. But they don't care where you at, because you know this is happening all over the world. All over the world. And I've heard people say, I've gone to other countries, and it's happening there with the microwave frequencies. Because this is done by satellite. When you put your hands to do this stuff, at somewhere, I heard Tony Evans say, some of you might not know who he is, but he's a powerful pastor, speaker. And he said, God is what goes around, comes around God. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. And he loves his girls, and that's us. So I just thank God that I had the opportunity to tell a little bit about my story. What hurts me the deepest is that men and women of God that say they are of God in the church, of apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, you know, some of my friends in my circle, they don't even believe that they're saved to do this kind of stuff. They're not doing the microwave frequency stuff, but they are doing the gang stalking stuff, because the gang stalkers are stalking them. And they have their way of telling me when they're watching me, no matter where I am. They have pictures of their faces, and they flash their faces in my face when they're watching me in the shower, in my bedroom. At what point, and you're a pastor, do you believe with all your heart that God approves of you watching me or any other woman in their bedroom? I don't care if I'm in my pajamas. You're not allowed in my bedroom. That's how the story goes. Hallelujah. So it's something what can happen. You go, God will take you to another level when you realize that this is going on in your life. I knew I belonged to God. They tried to make me think I didn't. The whole time God was ministering to me, and I'm saying, I don't know what this is. Is there a bully website? You show me everything else in visions and dreams. You could show me the internet link or the website. How did these people that I've never seen before in my life in another city where I just moved to, how do they know who I am? Why are they following me? What is their purpose? I always knew it was of the devil, but I couldn't understand why they were doing this until 17 years. I think I had this started in the early 2000s that I'm aware of. And it wasn't until about a good 3 or 3.5 years ago that I found out through a friend of mine. So God leads us and guides us into all truth. He does not want us to be ignorant of anything. But there's one thing that he wants us to know, that he's our Abba. Hallelujah. I love to hear Julia, Minister Julia, say Abba, the way she talks about Abba. You just will fall in love with him all over again and again and again. That's the love relationship that we need to be rapture ready. This is a modern day persecution. People can't get through this without Jesus. And those of us that are holy and living for God, that are standing in Christ, holding up, God holding us up under this kind of warfare, ammunition. You know, the Satan found a way to attack without proof. And that's what makes people comfortable. How's she going to find out? How would she know? These church leaders, I've tried to get them. Let me help the church. You're doing this. You're using this technology on me. Okay, well, let me help the church. Because in the church, there's people that are going through this, and they're losing their minds, and their families don't understand them, and they think they're schizophrenic, and they have no sympathy towards this. They're gang stalking those that are gang stalking me, but they're not using it against them, at least not yet. They have used this against me. I've sat in the privacy of my relative's home talking about specific pastors, and they recorded it and sent it to them. Instead of these pastors calling me on the carpet about it, they pass it around like it's a problem. I wasn't saying anything about them that wasn't true. But just because I was saying something about them, they didn't like it. Well, what kind of stuff is that? You preach every Sunday, and you don't even do what the Word says do. I'm not a coward. I will confront you in a minute if it concerns me. And I've done every way possible to confront these church leaders, absolutely every way, and God is pleased with me. Hallelujah. God is pleased with me. I don't have no dirt on my hands. My heart is pure. And I have to say what I usually say to people when I do nursing home ministry and soul winning on the street. When they pray after me, I have them to pray, I forgive everyone that has hurt me. So I'm going to end on that note. I got another young lady that's coming up to talk with you. I was panicking a little bit because I couldn't find a phone number, and then while the music was playing earlier, I started looking on my Google for some of the area codes that I see of callers that have called in, dialed in listening, and I found the area code, 415. So I thank you for listening to me. I'm blessed to have you on the podcast tonight. I want to give a shout-out to all the nations. I'm not going to call any of them, but I thank you from 60-some to 70 nations that tune in on demand or stream in from all over the world. God said he was going to make this ministry global, and that's exactly what he's done. He said international, and that's what he's done, because I don't know anybody internationally like this in 70-some nations. But I thank God. I'm honored to have Constance Rode on the broadcast tonight. I found her her phone number on a newsletter for targeted individuals. And last year or sometime, and I had her on the podcast, and her testimony was powerful. And if you desire to repeat anything, Constance is fine with me. But I know you're transparent, and God used you last time, and I believe God to use you tonight. How are you doing, young lady? Your mic is open.
Oh, thank you. Hello, Linda. I am actually doing very well tonight, and I appreciate the message and the music, all very uplifting, all very honest, all very true to what my experience has been. And boy, am I going to pass Psalm 59 around. That is powerful.
Cool. Yeah, good. Well, look, tell us all about your story and your experiences. God bless you. Thanks for being on a podcast. It's all yours right now.
Okay, great. So I don't remember at all what I talked about last time because it's been quite a while. But I will start by saying that my entire story up until about 2014 is in my book, and I have written a book. I self-published it on Amazon. It's in print, and it's also ebook format for Kindle. It's also on Apple iBooks, but I don't get any sales off of there. But the reason I bring this up is because I go into very extreme detail about how I was betrayed by pretty much every friend I had, family members, church members, like Linda mentioned, clients, neighbors. When this horrible, heinous crime comes to town and lands on your doorstep, they're going to recruit everybody they can to come up against you. And probably the saddest thing about this is how you watch your family and you watch your friends and you watch your business associates and the people that you have shared your prayers and your hopes and your dreams with completely use everything that they know about you against you. Every word you've ever spoken to them, it will be used against you. And I'm going to add right here that when you have somebody in your life who is a true spiritual warrior, avatar, whatever, they will not get involved. And from my experience, those people are few and far between, but they do exist. There are people that have such good and pure hearts that they can never be pulled into this. And that is a blessing that cannot be compared to anything, because otherwise we would have only each other as support, as targeted people. Also, I love, Linda, that you called us transformed individuals. I like that so much better. In fact, I started a support group here in the San Francisco Bay Area with another person, and we have over 150 people on our mailing list. But most of us don't like that term targeted or targeted individual, and we actually call ourselves titaniums because TI is the elemental symbol for titanium. So we're facing it being strong. Let's see. That's I wanted to say about my book. The other thing is that I did a lot of research back in those days, and I put everything I found, and the book was published in 2016, and so there's always new information coming out. So that part is a little bit outdated, but I've had people contact me even recently and say that they found some of that research they had never found themselves, and they were grateful. So outside of the book, we did start a support group in 2018, myself and a lovely woman named Michelle. And it's still ongoing. I've handed over the leadership to another person at this point. And I also began in 2019, I believe, began an organization called Advocacy for Humankind. It's just advocacyforhumankind.com. There's a lot of information there. It's it's framed in such a way that if you show this website to friends and families and other people who don't know about these crimes, they will understand it, because we what we found was we had just kind of by accident ended up talking to a lot of politicians. We've talked to many, many by this time. And along the way, we learned what were the pitfalls, what were the things that we were saying when we told people about this that caused them disbelief. And so that website is set up that if you're a targeted person and you are listening to this right now, you can show somebody that website, and they will get a pretty good idea of what you're undergoing. Although, unless I really honestly believe that unless you have this happening in your life, you could never really understand. I mean, I sometimes listen to myself talking about it when I'm not trying to frame the message, and I think, oh my God, if somebody told me this, you know, like if I'm talking to another titanium or something, I'll just think, oh my God, if you know, if my family heard me talking like this or about this like this, they would, you know, I can understand the disbelief. I wouldn't have believed myself either before I knew what this was. So that's a little bit about what we're doing right now. Things are actually exciting. I do want to share some of the really exciting things that have been happening in the past, I would say since 2021 started. There's always been little news stories leaking out here and there, but there have been just been some gigantic news stories where the Department of Defense came out and said that they were working with the CIA investigating the weapons and the crimes. There's been probably two or three stories like that that came out. The Biden administration has made a promise to investigate as well. And then there's been, I apologize that I'm forgetting off the top of my head here, but there have been some stories about people who have been participating in organized harassment campaigns that have been, well, they've had to quit their jobs and they've been convicted. I'm thinking, I guess, of the eBay. There was a neat situation with ex-employees of eBay. There was a situation with a woman who was pushed out of Uber. Yeah, I think those are the main ones I can think of right now. So the other thing is the United Nations in the past few years has done a lot of exploration into both the psychological torture aspect and the electronic harassment, the physical torture of the microwave weapons aspect. And that is ongoing. They've now asked us for two submissions, and we have, we've done that. And I'm very hopeful that Nils Meltzer, who is the reporter or rapporteur, because it's Swiss, who's investigating this, you know, definitely an ally, as is the ACLU, who've been putting out report after report after report about fusion centers across the United States, which is where we believe these the headquarters are in each region for these crimes. And then also they put one out called Trapped in a Black Box, which talks about hidden watch lists. These are watch lists that nobody knows about, that people are being put on, and there's absolutely no accountability or no criteria. So they don't have to have a reason to put somebody on these particular watch lists. So these are some of the more exciting things that have been happening, and I definitely view it myself as God is exposing these crimes, and God has his or her own timing God's timing, we don't know or understand God's timing, but it's happening. And I'm very encouraged. Some of the other things that are going on for us personally here in the Bay Area, we've brought a couple of people into our team through the support group. One of them is she has both biomedical PhD, and she's also has a lot of very high-tech experience. So she's going to be creating methods of measuring the effects of the microwave weapons on people's bodies. She's going to be doing her own thing, because everybody knows about the scanning for chips and stuff, but she's finding ways to measure the frequencies. So she's now on our Advocacy for Humankind team, and she also has started successful nonprofits. So we're really excited about her. That's Iris. And we've also brought in a young man who's very enthusiastic and works very well with people, but he also has done special effects for movies, very well versed in video. So we're going to be putting together some very high-end commercials that will be public service announcements. And we're hoping to get them at least on local television stations, which I think they have to do it. I think if you present them with a credible public service announcement, they have to air it, whether it's at 2 a.m. or 3 p.m. I would have no idea. So those are some of the exciting things that are going on. I'm just very hopeful. My own situation right now, I'm Christian, but I'm also what you would call a yogini. So I study the 8 limbs of yoga, which includes doing the poses everybody knows about, which are that kind of help you to meditate. So I do a lot of meditation and prayer. And, I'm just getting to such a place through these studies and my Christian studies where I guess you'd call it giving it to God, but I also consider it as being in a place of equanimity where I'm not attached to what's going on around me, and I'm not repulsed either. I'm just sitting in the presence of God as an observer and pretty much just asking God, how can I help? That's pretty much what I do. And I do get guidance from God all the time. I get divine guidance. And that leads me on what I'm going to do, because especially right now, I have had some health issues that are more about just my age, I think, than anything else. I have to step back. I don't have the energy of 5 horses anymore. So I have to step back a little bit and pick and choose what I'm going to be involved in. But I'm always going to be working on these crimes as long as they're in existence. And, I hope that in my lifetime we see the eradication of them. But like I said, it's God's timing. We don't know. God works in mysterious ways, but God has a plan. God always has a plan, and I know that. So let's see. I am not coming up with much more to think about. So I don't know, Linda, if you want to ask questions or if you want to open to people on the call for discussion.
Well, if you have dialed in, you can only ask a question if you've dialed in to 929-477-2442 and you would like to ask a question. You need to act fast and push 1. And then I will see on my screen that you want to ask a question. You sound like there's a lot going on that you are. I wouldn't know where to begin, Constance, of trying to find out who in this city or in this state where I live at is a TI. I knew of one lady that is in Pastor Millicent's church, but that's it. I don't know. I wouldn't know where to begin. And for you to say that, you know, you got a support group, We got to talk so I can find out how you started that And I really, and one thing that I can say that you said, that I can ask the Lord, how can I help? And even though I never asked him, which I will, but feel like when I first became aware of all the YouTube testimonies and stories, I came across Ella Free's YouTube. Nobody told me about her. Out of all everything that's on YouTube about this stuff, I decided to call her. I don't know why. And that's how I met everybody that I'm connected to now, through a couple phone calls. Like one night I called and I just listened. Another night I called and I pressed one, and I think there were so many people on her line. They were talking, and when she came to me, I forget what I said, but I know that the Lord said that he wanted me to pray or and say something, everything about him, that these people that are being dealt with in such a wicked way need relief, need a release, need his support, need his help, need to know that he loves them. And so I came in like that when Ella opened my line and let me talk, and that's how other believers that were on the phone or their lines might have been open, how they were very receptive, and I got immediately connected to them. And so I need to talk to you because I would like to find out about concerning some other things that you've made it clear to whatever organization or person that's collecting information, and I want to be a part of that as well. So I don't see anybody that wants to ask a question out of all the callers that are here. In the area where you live, are there a lot of people that you've connected with that are TIs?
Yes, yes. In fact, as I mentioned, we have on our Bay Area support group over 150 people are on our mailing list, and we've met a lot of them. And you know, I am going to say a little bit about how we started that group, because if there's somebody else on the line that wants to start a support group in their area, it might help them to have this information. But it was actually pretty easy. First, I would recommend that you do it with another person. This is too much for one person to do by themselves, because you will have a lot of people contacting you from all over the country, and they are very traumatized. And so, you know, you need another person to do this with. But all we really did was put, we asked Ella Free to put it on her website, and she did. And I think I did an interview maybe with her. Yes, I did do an interview with Ella Free. And I think she's open to doing interviews with pretty much any TI. And I had worked with her on Targeted Justice Board for a very short time. You could put it there. You could put it on Derek Robinson's PAX International website. You could list it. All of these websites have support groups listed. And then there's Shayla Avance, and she's in Missouri, but the website I think is SHSA or something. And Linda, I can email that to you another time. And I promise you that if you list your support group under those three websites, you'll probably have more people than you know what to do with, unless you're in a very remote area. So I do want to mention that.
Okay, that's good. That gives me some idea in some way. I'm a praying woman, and I like to pray with people and help them get a breakthrough. And
yes.
I know that the ministry that God has blessed me with to the TIs was so effective that the devil couldn't take it. He just couldn't stand it. So that's when the microwave frequencies started coming, attacking me. And so I just pray for them. I pray for them out loud. They speak openly in my room. Like when they can't tolerate something, they do actually speak openly in my room. I'll give you an example. When they knew that the church leaders were using technology to listen to me, in the middle of the night, a man voice came in my room. I'm sound asleep, and he said, hello. And that made the church leaders think that a man had just walked in my bedroom. Now, at this point, they weren't using the technology to see me. They were just using the technology to hear me. And the Lord spoke to me and said, that's what their small minds are going to think, Linda, that a man just walked in your room. And that was the objective of the men that were doing this, to use technology to speak in my room, the gang stalking men. So it caused me a lot of anguish because of the church leaders' ignorance. And they were being deceived. And once they started doing this, they gave an open door to deception. So these gang stalkers stalking me, watching them, and knowing what they're doing and knowing what they're saying, they're rejoicing because they know that it hurts me. And anything that a gang stalker can do to hurt you, that's what they want to do. They'll use whoever they can, just like you said, people in the church, family, people that you thought were your friends. My friends are still my friends. They believe me when I talk to them about this. They know I'm not a liar. They know I couldn't make this up. They're supportive of me. They're good listeners, and not through technology. And so that's just an example of what they did. And then the church leaders that were using technology to listen to me, they took it to another level, and they found out how to use the technology to watch me as if it was okay with me and as if it was okay with God. I don't know how they have no conviction. And that makes me wonder about all of them. You know, I mean, if I named some of them, you would know who they are, because they're not just community leaders. They are world-renowned, big-name millionaire pastors that are on TV.
Wow. Wow.
And so the devil is using them to try to get the best of me. And it's not going to happen because they don't know me. And they obviously don't know how loyal God is to a woman of God that's faithful. And as soon as they started using technology to listen to me, the Lord said, when I was at work, when you go home, look on Twitter, and I'll prove to you that they're listening to you, because all of them had comments from something that I said during the day on my job on Twitter.
Right.
The Lord said, I am revealing to you. And then I saw two of them in dreams listening, sitting before their computer with an earplug in their ear, listening to me. So they advanced to watching me. And then my daughter had done something, and she got in trouble with the law, and she had a court case. And I got up at 6 o'clock the morning of her court case, and I started praying. And I just asked the Lord to have mercy on her, to give her favor with the judge, line the courtroom with his holy angels, blah, blah, blah. I went back to sleep. the court case was at 8 o'clock in the morning. Before 9 o'clock, I heard this man speak in my room, angry, angry voice. Who are you?
Wow.
That's what he said.
Oh, my God.
And right away the Lord said, the judge let your daughter go free, and he's angry because they were watching through technology, and they wanted her to go to jail. Mm-hmm. But the judge let her go free. And she walked out of that courtroom, and that angry, angry man said to me, they saw me get up and pray at 6 o'clock in the morning. Then I went back to sleep with peace. That's the kind of God I serve. And then I let him know later, I'm showing you who I am. I am a woman of the Most High God, and he has favor for me. And he answered my prayer. So, Constance, I'm going to let Dr. Pastor Millicent Black come on and share. I always love listening to her. It's been a pleasure. I'm blessed by everything you said and how you ministered to us. I'm sure it has encouraged somebody because it has encouraged me. So God bless you. Thank you for being on the podcast. I don't know when part 9 is going to be. Probably some might not be till 2022, but it'll come along soon. And just keep me posted. Email me any information that you can, because I might get some emails from other people that might want to know follow up on what you said. Okay.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Linda, and thank you for your faith. And I know that everybody up here listening is uplifted as I am. Thank you. Thank you
God
so much.
Bless
God bless.
You. I'm glad. Dr. Millicent Black, Pastor Millicent, your mic is open. It's all yours. God bless you.
Good evening, everyone. God bless each of you who are listening. I believe that we are all anxiously awaiting news that this evil program will be coming to an end soon. And in the meantime, we have to be encouraged that God is working. I appreciate Constance's testimony and can confirm much of what she says, as well as many other things that are never mentioned. And I think I maybe want to talk about some of that this evening. I don't know. I shared your tears when you were talking earlier about the cruelty that we have to endure. As women, it amazes me the depths of depravity that a man's mind can go to when they want to degrade or dehumanize you. Thing that keeps us looking up and with our heads up is that we are assured of whose we are, and God reminds us frequently of who we are, and we don't have to bow to their reality. One of the things that is quite concerning is that the people in our circles tend to live in a faulty reality. They live in a reality that is established to make them believe whatever is being said about us. And for me, it's so frustrating, because the person who set me up for this program actually is brain-to-brain connected to me, which means that he can think in my head, his thoughts in my voice, and his thoughts come into my brain can go to the brain of everyone in this area at the same time, much like a cell phone conversation. Or for those of you in the old days, who might have lived in towns where they had what was called party lines, that's probably what happens to others who live in this area. And he is constantly doing things, saying things that is designed, and he likes to tell me it's designed to stir up negative energy towards you or to make people hate you. And try walking around, even Christians, with some of that garbage going on, and it becomes quite frustrating but also very sad to see people's reactions and to see how people tend to sometimes believe what's being projected. I had to learn the hard way that he's actually projecting into my brain and everyone else's brain at the same time, much like the dreams that come to us. I don't know the last time, Linda, I've had my own dream. I hear you talk about how God ministers to you through dreams, but I don't know the last time I've had my own, and I rarely have any that are good enough for me to even think that God sent them. I was very surprised one time in 2006. One morning, I walked into my daddy's room. I was caring for him. In fact, it was set up that I would have to care for him in his home. And he was in bed. He was. That what they did was they took his legs from him, a man 6'4", who had always cared for himself and was quite a man in the community. All of a sudden, his legs were gone. At least the use of his legs were gone. And as I've grown and learned now, I'm just so, I guess, was so thankful that the use of his legs were all that was taken from him, because many other men are losing their legs. In the last few years, I understand that my ex-husband, my second husband, has lost both of his legs, and I have no reason to doubt that was at the decision of the perpetrator who is over our area, our county, or our state even. But I walked in my dad's room, and he looked at me, and he said, "Look like they give you some good dreams sometimes." I said, "So you see them?" He said, "Uh-huh." That helped me so much, because that let me see that at the same time he was sending them to me, he was sending them to everyone else as well. What my dad said was confirmed by the vice mayor of the town just months after my dad's death. This was 2007. I had been home and asleep, and early morning, the old boys network always met at McDonald's at 7 a.m., and the perpetrator decided to entertain them. And so he sent a weird dream of some sort, and I saw this vice mayor later that day, and he said to me, "That was quite a dream you had there." I just looked at him. I said, "Okay." But what I'm trying to say here is that others are able to, they do know, let me just say that, they do know that we aren't doing these things to ourselves. They do know that a lot of them have much more information about what's going on than they're able to say or willing to say. I've had some people indicate to me that they were told to ignore or pretend that they did not know what was happening. I've had some others confirm to me that law enforcement has talked to them or said to them to pretend that they did not know what was happening to us. So it's very confusing for many who don't know where to turn, and I believe that especially in small communities like the one that I live in, I'm being used to confirm to others that there's nowhere to turn for help. And so we turn to God. I don't know how many Christians are actually asking God to end this. I don't know how many of them are actually praying and asking him to expose who is doing this in our individual communities and around the world. We do understand that many high up, when Ephesians 6 talks about powers and principalities and the rulers of the darkness of this age and spiritual wickedness in high places, God knew exactly what was coming. And we do know that those high places start in D.C. and around the Pentagon. But the power or permission, the permission flows down into states and counties and communities like the ones in which we live. And it is not unusual that the very perpetrator, the very instigator, and even the organizer of the harassment that we endure walk among us. Some may sit in the same churches. Some may sit in the same pew. But we do know that there are lookalikes. Let me put it that way. There are lookalikes even in the church. The perpetrator that bragged about setting me up for this told me that he was indeed a counterfeit Christian. He talked about his plans of desecrating the pulpit, which he does. But he also, y'all, talked about setting up children to be used as sex slaves. And that is becoming such a reality in my area as I think about my little hometown of now 4,000 people, because the military has taken it over. And when I say taking it over, K through 12 is now being ran by or financially supported by NASA and the Air Force. It seems that the STEM programs may be in some way a look-alike for the JROTC program, though it is saying that it is preparing our children for careers as scientists, as technologists, mathematicians, and engineers. In this area, there is a lot of industry that would be in need of blue-collar workers, and I have reason to believe that some, if not most of the children that are participating in these programs are being prepared for that here anyway. I can confirm that I myself have been being used as a research subject probably for the United States military since about 8 years old. The perpetrator that had set me up for this program and that is my primary torturer brags about his participation or actually leading in bringing NASA and the Air Force into our hometown. He says that he have already chosen the children that he wants to keep. The others he will discard. Discard means setting them up for torture, just like me, my children, my grandchildren. So it's no joke. Our church, Refuge from the Storm Church, have chosen the month of July to pray for the children every time that we meet as a group in prayer, and then my encouragement is for the entire church congregation to pray for the children every day. We do understand that the enemy started after Moses, shortly after he was born, and actually Herod had given the two midwives the instruction to destroy the boy babies at birth. And they honored God more than they feared the king and refused to kill their own. Notice I said they refused to kill their own. And then we go on over 2,000 plus years to Jesus' arrival, and there's another Herod who sends out wise men to find the boy child, because again he knew that there was a plan for a redeemer. And I can be assured that all over the world there are children being born that God would use as a redeemer of whatever sort. There would be a Nelson Mandela or a Martin Luther King or John Lewis among them, a Mahatma Gandhi. And we must pray God's will for the children to prevail over the plan of the adversary. Julianne McKinney wrote a what she told me was a satire that was actually published, and she was interviewed about it about 1994, almost 20 years ago. The name of it was, and I never get it correct, but if you all are interested in it, I can feel free to contact me, and I'll actually get you the actual topic. But it was a recipe for a revolutionary affair, a revolutionary military affair. In the satire, she said there were 10 things that were being planned by the military to destroy the world or destroy humanity or to take over the world. The very first thing was to turn 1 to 2 generations of our children into a satanic cult. How do you turn children into a satanic cult? I think you hypnotize them, or you go into their schools and you offer them the moon and you give them nothing. Sure, a few of them will rise to the top, but what happens to the majority of the rest of them? It's important, y'all, that we understand that God does indeed have a plan for our children. He knew what he meant when he said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and had appointed you as a prophet to the nation. On over in Psalm 139, it tells us that every day of our lives have been written before there ever was one of them. And so not just for the children, but for all of us, God have a plan. He has an individual plan that we would do something great in the kingdom of God. We don't think about it as we talk about what we're going through, because what we're going through is very real and it's very physical and it's very painful and it's degrading. Right now, my right leg I can almost not use it. When I had a body scan done by a private investigator in 2014, she discovered 53 chips all over my body. 15 were in my right leg, 12 was in my left. I'm pretty sure that that's one of the ways that the perpetrator has been causing so many women and men to lose their legs in this area. All of the women, all of the people that I know of are African Americans, including my stepdad, who lost one leg. Generally, the men lose one leg, but the women lose two because this guy has confessed his hatred for women. So what will happen to our children as they fill their bodies with chips and as they use those chips to torture them, not just in their minds but also in their bodies? I do know that the mind control technology is being used on everybody in the world. It is so much more prevalent in the United States because of the billions of dollars, the billions of black dollars. And when I say black dollars, those are unaccounted for dollars, unreported dollars, and dollars for which there is no oversight, that are being used to encapture, entrain, and enslave the minds of the children, of which we were those many years ago. There's an article that is entitled, "He Who Controls the Mind Controls the Body." And there you will find your confused people who become addicted to drugs. They become addicted to alcohol. They become addicted to all of these dangerous chemicals to use as trials. They're being subliminally messaged to try that meth. There you will find your serial killers and your suicide victims. We don't want that to happen to the young people in our communities. We don't want it to happen to the young people in our world because God has a plan for them. And the promise is that his plan is for good and not for evil, to give them a future and a hope. So I encourage each of you this evening to join me throughout the month of July, and obviously we won't stop in July, to cry out to God for the lives of the children. Remind him of Moses and remind him of Jesus and how he sent help that the world would be saved. Moses' assignment was to lead 3 million people out of Egypt, out of the very place where he was born and raised, against the very household in which he was raised. God's assignment for Moses before he was born in his mother's womb was to lead those people to freedom from slavery. So we can rest assured that God already has a deliverer in the earth. Assignment it is to lead his people free from electronic slavery, because that's what they call it, y'all. They call what's happening to us electronic slavery. They can control our brains and through that control our bodies by electronic means, a microchip, a computer, a satellite, and a cell tower. So let's lift up the children to the Lord. Let's remind them of the good plan he promised for their lives. Remind him that he told us that children are heritage of the Lord. And like arrows in his hands, he will use them in the camp of the enemy. The very places where the enemy thinks they've set up and they've won. We want to praise God's victory in the lives of the children and for the lives of the children. This wasn't what I was thinking about. In fact, I was going to talk to y'all about something totally different. Or maybe it isn't totally different. But I do know that the children are on God's heart. And prayer is necessary for our children to live the life of freedom, free from microchips and satellites and directed energy weapons, free from torture and sleep deprivation and all of the many distractions that we have to deal with day after day. One of the things that the perpetrator in this area likes to do is to wake me up and tell me how he made my little girl cry. And I'm going to tell you, whether or not it was true, it catches my heart, because no mother wants to know that their child goes through anything like this. One of the most disturbing things for me is to see my granddaughter, who looks just like me, walk through my door with sweat pouring down her body, and I know that she's being heated on the inside, but she doesn't know. So all I can do is offer her green tea that will help to give antioxidants into her system. To know that my little 9-year-old grandson is being tortured and he's being harassed by boys 11 and 13 years old at the instruction of a 60-year-old man, y'all. A 60-year-old man has taken on a little 9-year-old boy and wants to take away his courage to live. The devil isn't playing, and I'm not either. He will get nothing that God has given me called an assignment. I'm on the wall, and I won't come down, because I'm doing a great work for the Lord. Thank you, Evangelist Seer Linda. And I pray that the rest of the congregation will consider my challenge for tonight.
Praise God. Mm. I tell you, every time Dr. Millicent talks, it's always something different. You know, it's about the same stuff, but it just is urgent, you know. The throne room of God is probably the prayer room where he receives our prayers. It's like incense that comes up before him. So this must be, he's probably just bombarded with incense, sweet-smelling savor before God, about these children that he loves dearly, that he let their tiny little spirit enter their mother's womb and be born into a world full of iniquity and all kinds of devilment until these babies can learn about Jesus Christ. Thanks, Millicent. I appreciate you. Give them your church information, so if they want to get online with your church and when you're on and the time, get on the phone with your church. Why don't you give it to them now?
Our church meets on Saturday afternoons at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Refuge from the Storm Church, a church that was developed specifically for the targeted community. One of the things that the perpetrators like to do is shut us out from the four-wall church. They want us to feel ostracized and isolated. And God wanted us to know that we are not orphans. We do still have a home. So I invite any of you and all of you to come and worship with us on Saturdays. We have a full worship service Wednesday, Thursday, Friday mornings at 7 a.m. Eastern Time is our early morning prayer. If you are up at that time and have time, you're a prayer warrior, I invite you to come and join us then. We're meeting on TalkShoe for prayer, and then our church service and our Wednesday evening Bible study, which in which we are studying through the chronological Bible, is on Zoom. And Wednesday evenings, we're meeting at 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And we are allowing 2 hours for our Bible study because we're getting into some rich discussion and some rich instruction as we see how the Bible, what happened during the Bible days from start to finish, taking all of the Bible in the chronological order. So we invite you to come and be with us for all of that. Also,
did you give your phone number for Saturday?
Saturday we're meeting on Zoom, and we have both. But what I want to give you is our website. We have a website. And it's refugefromthestormchurch.org. There you can find the phone number for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday morning, as well as the Zoom address for and phone numbers, because you can also call in on Wednesday and Saturday. Want to invite y'all to come, please come with us. And then pray. Begin to pray. Ask God to raise up mothers who will come together and pray for their children who are in the school system. I'm trying to encourage some groups of women called Moms in Prayer and even Grandmoms in Prayer to begin to come together weekly that they may pray for their children, pray for the schools that their children are attending. And that can be a global thing, you all. And so if you are interested in being part of or forming a mother's prayer group or a grandmother's prayer group, contact me. I'll be happy to give you information on how to accomplish that as well. You can contact me through the church website, m.black@refugefromthestormchurch.org. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Black. Dr. Millicent, my friend, God bless you. Thanks for all the information, and thanks for sharing your heart with us tonight, and thank you for sharing my tears. God bless you. Now, I'm not sure if this is Minister Julia's number because it's not a number that I recognize for her, but I do see the same area code. Minister Julia, are you there? Okay, I see an area code from 239. I thought it was her because that's the
No, it's me.
Who's me?
sorry.
Who's
Dorothy
me?
King. Dorothy
oh,
King.
Oh, okay. Hi, Dorothy. This is Linda. I thought you were, Julia's in your same area code, and I'm not getting, and I thought this was her number, so I'm not getting a, I'm not getting an answer on her phone. So I don't know what happened. I know Julia does have her own ministry at 8 o'clock every night. So, boy, she asked me two times, "Am I speaking? Am I speaking?" And I kept telling her, "Yeah." And she said, "Yeah." She couldn't wait. So I don't know what happened. I didn't hear from her about it. Usually I have Thursday night, but I did send her the information. Hold on, Julia.
Hello, my friend. Thank you for calling.
Oh, that's her voicemail. Okay. Well, if there is a TI on the line that would like to share something with us, your experience, or you would like prayer, and you've dialed in, you can press 1. If you're listening by way of streaming at www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry, or you have tapped on the link and you're streaming, in order to remain on the line after 9 o'clock, you're going to have to dial in before 9. We will still be recording after 9, but you won't be able to dial in after 9. So you can get off the computer if you want to and dial 929-477-2442, and you'll be calling in, and you'll enter right into the broadcast where you left off. So if someone wants to have something to say, share, or say something about anything that we've talked about, just press 1 and I'll open your mic and you can share with us. I am, you know, there's certain things that we can maybe easily ignore, or some things that don't hurt us as much as other things. And the deepest experience that I can say that most of the TIs have had, excuse me, has been the betrayal of friends. That has not happened to me, but I have been betrayed by pastors and leaders, my very own pastor. When I confronted him about it in love and God told me to, he lied right in my face, and he knew I knew that he was lying. It's just something how the enemy can get you entangled into something that you can't even tell the truth about. And then you want to blame me for not letting it go. I can't let it go. I just can't. I can forgive you, but it's not something that I can just forget. Because when a man or a woman of God, that is one of the fivefold ministry, or their title is mentioned in the Bible, and they do just the opposite of what the Word of God says do, that's a deep hurt, especially if it affects you personally. And they don't get it, because it's not them that's affected. They just don't get it. I came up under pastors that were of such integrity and character that if they thought they offended you, they would call you in and talk to you. These gang stalkers sent out naked pictures of me to these church leaders, and they just passed them around. Not one of them yet, and this was over 10 years ago, has talked to me about it. And what does the Bible say? It says go first to your brother or your sister. I'm more of a sister to them than they've ever been a brother or sister to me. And so my roommate's pastor, my roommate goes to a church that is the largest church in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, so you know that's got to be big. It covers three states. And I came in the house on Sunday after church, and he had his service on streaming. And his mother lives here, and she was watching it at the kitchen table. And so I said, what's going on? So I listened to the rest, and we talked about it, but I listened to it myself three or four times yesterday on YouTube. And a group had organized themselves to come up against these three men of God that the church, the leaders, had picked to be voted on for elders in the church. They came up against them, made up all these lies about the church. When it was voting time for the church people to come in and vote, and you know that had to be a lot of people for this to be the largest church in three states. And he said that they were gossiping, tale-bearing, they made up stuff. They said that these elders were going to sell the church to Muslims and give the proceeds to the Southern Baptist Convention. And they're not even affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention. Not that there was anything wrong with that. You know, and it, the, what he said, it was just, but what I was impressed about was this pastor got up and exposed it so that it wouldn't go any further. And said, this is not us. We don't think like this. These are three men of God that we have sought the Lord about. And they were really, it was horrible, the things that they said. McLean Bible Church, if you want to go on YouTube and find out. It was July 4th service. And he just took most of the service. He did go into a message and briefly showed his notes and expounded on that. But he used a great span of time to let the body of Christ know what was going on, what they did about it. They forgot those votes. They demolished them, and they're having another vote 2 weeks from Sunday. And they want people to know the truth. And see, this is scriptural. This is how the scripture says. And I told my roommate, I said, if one of those preachers that saw a naked picture of me back in the early 2000 that was sent out by these haters, the devil knew who to give it to, because his objective was to have them look at the picture of me naked, which is pornography for them. Number two is, he knew they were not going to communicate with me, but he knew that they were going to gossip about it among each other. My pastors in Philadelphia, had that happened, they would have got my phone number, called me in, and talked to me about it. It happened to my girlfriend at her church. Her pastor's got a naked picture of her daughter up on his computer. And he called the mother in, because the mother's a member of his church. And she says she told him, that's my daughter's face, but that's not my daughter's body. But at least he did it to honor God, because she's the sheep. And all these bishops and pastors that have used it, that's using this technology, that have passed around these pictures, no, I can't let that go. Because I'm a woman. I'm a woman. And I know what it's like to know that when I take my clothes off, men are watching me through technology. And now men that are church leaders are watching me. How do they know what I'm doing when they turn on the technology to see what I'm doing? They don't know. So I don't even know how they sleep at night. I've made myself available. They all have my phone number. They all have my email. I've sent out all, I've communicated with them in every way to try to get an audience to confront them. And they look at confrontation as evil. I look at confrontation as very wise. The Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love. And my spiritual mother, who is mid-80s, going on 90s, she said to me, this is not agape love with what these church leaders are doing. It's just not. So, and they've already gotten themselves involved because the gang stalkers gang stalking me or gang stalking them, gang stalking their kids, gang stalking their grandkids. Oh, my God, they would never think of that. Why not? You've succumbed to the evil. Why not? It's okay for them to do it to me, but not you and your family. Well, maybe if you follow what the Bible says, it would be a little different. So the greatest hurt with me, because my family knows nothing about what I'm going through. My one cousin that was my best friend, she died a couple years ago. And she was my listener, my confidant. They don't know when to stop doing these fireworks. And so she was supportive. All my friends know me well, and they're very supportive of me in this season of my life, this long season of dealing with this. And I feel like if the church leaders did anything, they would say that they recognize that this is not of God. Repent and say something to me about it, because it's my life that they have bombarded, that they have invaded without my permission. These are my rights. This is a portion of my life that God has given me that they've taken from me and many of us. And it has hurt me deeper than anything in my life. God has blessed me so that I can travel, and I've been doing 7 and 8 days in other countries during each month, and I'm going to do it until the funds run out. But God has increased me, and I'm thankful. So if no one else has anything to share or say tonight, I would really appreciate if you did. I would open your mic and you could share. This broadcast can go on for another hour or half an hour. But I'm glad to see the callers have hung in there and you're listening attentively. Within the half an hour, 20 minutes, when I end the broadcast, it will go on demand at www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. And then you can hear it again. You can give the website to your friends and they can listen to it. I have some TI broadcasts for the last 5 years. This is part 8. So this is the 8th TI broadcast. And at least 2 of them have over 100 listeners. And I know TIs are all over the world. If you know a newsletter, just give them the website. If you have the flyer, send them the flyer, because the website address is at the bottom of that flyer that I use, that poster board that Ella made. So God bless you. Thank you for listening. I love you. God loves you. Hold on and talk out loud. Psalm 59, it encourages me. It's God's words to you and the adversary that's coming up against you for no reason at all. I'm seer evangelist Linda Cazares, and I just want to say only what you do for Christ will last. God bless you, and just remain kind in spite of what the enemy is doing, because God is going to give us the victory. He says in his word that he loves justice and he forsakes not his saints. God bless you. Have a good night.